Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Good Fight Podcast, Season 4, Episode 10. And this is hopefully a familiar voice, but one that you haven't heard for in a while. So it's great to be back. A lot has gone on the past couple months in my life, and mostly it's really just football related. As most of you know, I coach high school football, and our season sadly came to an end last Friday night. However, extremely proud to have coached the team, and the many responsibilities that I held this season. It was my first season as a head coach. I was a head coach of our JV team, and that was a great experience. And then I continued with varsity as the special teams coordinator and the running backs coach. So great experience. Well,
you and Tim Waltz have some stuff in common then.
Yeah, I was going to get to that in a little bit. I'm what Tim Walls wants to be, really.
Okay.
No. But it was a great season, a lot of fun, and just, you know, being around the people that I am able to coach with. The coaches are just some great men. So proud to be a part of it. But now I'm back, and it's good to be back. So and good to celebrate with all of you. What a wonderful victory we had a couple days ago.
Well, I really admire you, Denver, and all that you contributed to that team. And that organization is very blessed to have you. And I know they know that because they picked you up really quick once you were available, and they've utilized you to the fullest. So I think that's great. The students and the staff are blessed to have you around. So, but it's great to have you back and be able to do this together and have, like you said, have another voice besides mine on the podcast.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think people enjoy your voice, though, but.
Well, hope so. Hopefully. So as Denver and I have corresponded about this, and, you know, we're kind of talking about this God's tremendous victory and first we worship. But, you know, that last session that I was able to put up just about being ready for either outcome and worshiping God one way or the other once he reveals what's going to happen. But obviously we're very thankful for this and we want to give him his due. I'll say a little bit more about that later, but it's a wonderful thing that's happened, and we want to really evaluate what that means for all of us and going forward and for our country too.
Yeah, no, it is a wonderful victory. And I talked to a couple people, including you, Brian, coming up to the election, you know, asking if you had a gut, you know, who was going to win. And everybody I talked to, including you, Brian, you know, didn't really have a gut, you know, kind of a coin flip. And so just great victory. It was great to be able to celebrate it that night. I stayed up pretty late, so, and still went into work the next day. So, but no, it was a great night.
Nice. Well, I'll admit I gave up and went to bed after they called Pennsylvania, but was glad to see things happening the next week, the next day, and following that. So, Denver, I know both of you talked about some of the things we did before the election that we felt good about, and do you want to kind of explain some of the stuff that you felt good about?
Yeah. I'll go back 4 years ago. 4 years ago, after the election, I felt like I didn't do enough. And so I made a promise to myself that the next election, I wouldn't have those same regrets. So basically, all I did was have conversations. And it can be daunting, you know, to start those conversations, especially with people you don't know what they believe, or you do know what they believe, and you know it's not the same thing as you. And so starting those conversations was really difficult for me. But after I had done it, now it is much more comfortable for me. But I had conversations with all kinds of people that I don't know changed their minds. But I do know that it felt good to talk to them and exchange ideas and ask questions. I think that was one of the most powerful things you can do with somebody that might disagree with you, is to get them to question what they think, because they may go home and kind of question themselves internally. And so I thought that was really powerful. And I was able to get a couple of people to vote, one in my household, Yeah, I felt really, really good about it.
Yep. And you know, for me, I explained last time about going over to Arizona to help with the Charlie Kirk organization on the Get Out the Vote. I was very thankful I did that. Just got out of my comfort zone and dedicated the time. And several months ago, I just really blocked out this kind of season on my calendar so that I could work on election-related stuff. And I'm really glad that I did that because there were some things that I turned down, some subbing jobs and all that stuff, just because this was a priority for me. And just like you, Denver, I didn't want to have any regrets, or I wanted to have minimal regrets about what I did or what I didn't do. And I'm really thankful for that. I had a little bit of conversation with people in my neighborhood. I felt good about kind of conversing with some of my friends and then texting them before the election to make sure that they'd voted, that kind of thing. And that was great. I think I was able to successfully get two people to vote that had voted minimally or had not voted at all before. One for the first time in California, have an influence there, and one in Wisconsin. That critical swing state that, you know, praise God, it went red for the presidential election. Unfortunately, it looks like the Senate race wasn't won, but I'm very, very thankful for that. And then I think the result, just that exercise, was I really had a feeling of peace on election day. And like you said, I told you, I was really trying to be ready for either one, didn't want to get my hopes up. And I just wanted to pray and really wait on God. And I'm obviously very thankful for the outcome.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Brian, but you know, as a football coach, I thought of election day as game day. You know, you did all the preparation, you prepared for everything. Now your players just got to go and execute on election day. And so I felt that same peace because the work was done. We just had to wait for the results. Ultimately, the Lord was faithful and we had a great victory. So even though it was a late night, it was peaceful throughout. So,
yeah. Well, and we really didn't have to wait as long, nearly as long as we thought we would. I'm surprised it was called that night. Mm-hmm. And yet, I mean, look what happened, Denver. I mean, virtually, I mean, they still haven't officially called, I think, Arizona, Nevada. We're recording this on Friday night, the 8th. But it looks like all of those swing states went for Trump. Wow, what a victory. Now, not all the Senate races did, but at least, you know, we've got a secure place in the Senate, still waiting and praying on the House. But I mean, that still is looking good. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of unified government so we can really push forward and get some positive things done?
Brian's right. We're recording this on a Friday. So Friday night, we're not out partying. We're recording a podcast and I'm still in my college town and I'm not partying. So anyway, no, you're right. We're waiting for Arizona and Nevada, but you know, I check, you know, every day and it looks like we're going to win those two. Not that we need to, but I think we're winning by a couple hundred thousand votes in each one. So those should be called any day.
Yeah. Yep. Well, very thankful, you know, so we don't want to take it for granted, you know, kind of while we're on the subject of just the worshiping, you know, we could talk a lot, you know, we're starting to see things, oh, what do we do from here? What are some of the implications of this and all that stuff? But, you know, just, I really like the example of Daniel, in the Old Testament, how, you know, he was challenged that, the king, wanted him to interpret his dream, but also tell him what the dream was. And so Daniel had no clue about that, but he and his friends went at home, they prayed, they slept. God revealed the answer to Daniel in his dream. And the next morning they got up, and I think if that had been me, I would have gotten out and went right to the king to tell him all this stuff. But not Daniel. He and his friends, they took time to worship the Lord first. And I really like some of what they said. You know, they said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. To whom belong all wisdom and might. And to you, O God of my fathers, I give you thanks and praise that you've given me wisdom and might and made known to me what I asked of you." So he was thanking God for answering his prayers. And we certainly want to do the same thing.
How powerful. We don't do that enough for the little things in life. At least I don't. I mean, this is a very big thing we should be thankful for, but what a great reminder for even in the smaller things, just praise the Lord for what we're blessed to have. And wow, praise the Lord for this tremendous victory. And you know, I think, taking a couple of days or a week just to continue to worship and be thankful, because we're going to have plenty of time to figure out what's next. And that'll happen in due time.
Yeah. And we can start praying about what's next and have that be part of our praise. Just before we move on to something else, I loved hearing Charlie Kirk talk the day after the election, because if there's anybody that worked tirelessly the whole time, it was him. And, you know, they wanted him to say something, and with tears in his voice, all he could do would just say, praise God. It's all of God. And what a wonderful thing. And I think that's great. I mean, sometimes an activist voice, you know, they just, you know, yak, 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 yak. But to hear, you know, that voice be able to be humbled and all he has to say is praise God, it just was very sweet to me. So I think that's wonderful.
Charlie's great. I have seen him out and about for the last 9 months. If you follow him on social media, you know it. He's in college towns every week, talking to college-aged adults about the election, and he's been doing that for a long time, and very courageous in his questions that he asks people, respectful, and so I think he's been great for the campaign and great for people interacting with him. I think it's been fun to watch.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's great. Well, moving along, let's talk second kind of, you know, what does all this all mean? You know, what does it mean? What doesn't it mean? And I don't know. Got any thoughts about that, Denver?
Yeah. Just because we won the election, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's over and we can go back to bed. We have to keep working. We have to keep praying. There's a lot more that's going to have to be done. And I know we'll come, you know, back to it in probably the next episode, but what it looks like at this point, when we have the House, the Senate, and the White House, you can get a lot done. And so now we have to press the advantage. Now is the time where we have to really get out there and get things done. Because it's a tremendous opportunity. So we have to press the advantage, and that's going to come here very soon.
So that means I can't just bury my head in the sand and go out in my trailer and spend my children's inheritance?
Probably not. And I probably can't stay in my college town and go drinking and enjoy the high life every night.
All right. Well, here's a virtual handshake. We'll agree on that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, to me, I think it doesn't mean that the church can do that either, because I think, you know, the church and praying people, I think this is a real example of God coming along and really giving us an opportunity, and that we have a lot to do as the church to be able to grow and to get our act together, to keep the gospel the main thing. And yet, if you preach the gospel, then there's going to be people that accept it. You make disciples, they make other disciples. And those are the kind of believers and citizens that are eventually going to come and vote in a biblical way that is going to result in the flourishing of everybody. And so I'm just really praying for that. And I'm just really, you know, the last couple of days I've taken a little break from, you know, the podcasts and media and things like that, just to really pray and ask God, you know, kind of what my part is for the next time. So looking forward to seeing how all that might work out.
That's great. And I'll be praying for that as well. Now, this win is only going to fuel the fire from the left. Bernie Sanders already came out and just said, you know, what a terrible job the Democrats did in this election. They're not going to go away quietly. They're going to come out. Gavin Newsom has called some sort of special session to talk about ways that they're going to protect freedoms in California because of Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, and him coming into office for that specific reason, for that. So they're going to come out swinging. We have to be ready for that. And, you know, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we have to be ready to fight back and continue to go on offense, to not play defense, but to continue on offense, because we win on offense and we scored points and we won. We have to continue that. Run up the score.
I agree, Coach. Yes, and that not to be afraid, expect that this is a good thing, because we have winning ideas. It's not that they don't have any good ideas, but these foundational worldview things where they're coming from, that's what's the problem. And if we can have the kind of dialogue with reasonable people, try to persuade people, I think that's really what we have to do. So we've got plenty to talk about in those future episodes, because, you know, looking at our Good Fight podcast, you know, our little motto line talks about informing and empowering truth seekers to take their place in the good fight. So as our listeners, we're going to be asking ourselves first, but we're going to be asking you, what do you feel is your place in all of this? Because I think all of us can have a place. And it's so cool that with this kind of freedom, we can explore what are our passions, what are our interests, and really look for a place to dig in. We'll be able to do what we do joyfully and productively. And I think it's just great.
I agree. And, you know, sitting here, I was just thinking about winners and losers from Donald Trump's win. And obviously, I think it's a win for America, but I really think it's a win for the world. I think a very underrated part of Donald Trump's presidency years ago was his foreign policy. No new wars, America first. And Donald Trump was asked many times about the wars going on right now and the one in Ukraine. His answer is simple. He just wants the killing to stop. He wants people to stop dying. And I think that's great. I think that's should be the number one thing. Human lives. And I think that's going to get resolved. Zelensky already came out and said that, you know, he's looking forward to working with Donald Trump. And so I think it's a win for the world. I think it's going to be a win for the world.
Well put. And I agree, that idea of American exceptionalism that's so distasteful to so many on the left, and that it really is a blessing for the world that that the kind of stability, that the kind of freedom that we are trying to promote, as imperfectly as it is, there's no comparison to it anywhere in the world. And like for people in America, I don't know, the people that are trying to leave America, there's not going to be any Mayflower come and pick us up and take us someplace else. Yeah. You know, it's up to us to use that system that God and our founders helped us with to reform the system and make it better for everybody.
Peace through strength. Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah. Well, losers, you know, obviously Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and the mainstream media, right? Because they worked in lockstep, putting up the falsehood that Joe Biden was just fine. And then, covering up the coup and working with Kamala Harris and doing all that stuff until they just could not at the end. I mean, like CBS, changed the answer and they're editing the interview and all that stuff. So, wow, how low can you stoop?
Well, the people saw through their BS pretty quickly. I'm glad for that. But I think the Democrats are really going to have to take a look in the mirror and I expect major changes, you would think, right? In the next couple of years, they got to change their strategy and they got to pick somebody likable to put up for president. Kamala Harris was not a likable person. I think that's one of the main things that hurt her. Nobody could relate to her because she's just over the top weird. Same with Tim Walz. What a weird guy.
Yeah, to use his own word.
That's why I used it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, then, like you said, the American people, as we continue to look at it and pray and work and be thankful, It's wonderful that we're at this point and that we're able to kind of get this corner turned and then be thankful and then roll up our sleeves and see what the future brings.
Yeah, that's the question, is what's next? And I think in our future episode, we're really going to dive into that, you know, what we can do individually, but also what we think should happen in a new Trump administration.
Yep. And I'd encourage all of you, just like we talked about, start thinking about what you might do, what you might contribute. And Denver and I haven't, you know, haven't discussed this too much, but I'm thinking of trying to title the next episode, Don't Fall Asleep in Delilah's Lap. Now, I'm not sure how many people get that biblical reference. It's not talking about the girl I went to high school with or anything. But it's, you know, if we're so comfortable in a, you know, a pleasant place, we bad things end up happening to us. So there's lots of ways that we inadvertently do that. And we'll kind of talk about some of those ways and how we can kind of make some adjustments based on what we want to see for ourselves and our country, our kids and our grandkids.
Yep. And that's what it's about. It's about the future. It's about how we can move forward. I've always hated liberals and how they term themselves progressives. I think conservatives, I think we can be progressive too. Not with progressive liberal ideas, but you have to be progressive and thinking about the future. Very excited for this next Trump administration, what we're going to be able to do in these next 4 years, and hopefully preserving a great America for the next couple of generations.
Yep. Well, this is great. We're glad to have this opportunity to be with you. And hopefully we can record a little bit more regularly now. And you can look forward to that next episode. And we're certainly looking forward to doing it and getting it out there to you. So spread the word, pass it along if you think it's useful. Let us know how you feel with goodfight71@gmail.com.
Yep. Looking forward to hearing from everybody and hopefully some more regular postings. So thanks for listening.
Yep. And with Daniel, we'll just close once again. To you, God of our fathers, we give you thanks and praise. You've given us wisdom and might, and you have helped us win this giant victory. So we give you praise, and we want the results to be to your glory. And we thank you.
Amen.
All right. Good to be with you again, Denver.
Good to be with you. It was fun.
All right. Take care, everybody. Keep up the good fight. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless. Bye.